Ralph Klein's conservative government calls it the third way, healthcare legislation to be introduced later this month in Alberta. This multi-point legislation is expected to increase private healthcare options in the province and potentially violate the Canada Health Act. Diana Gibson is the co-author of The Bottom Line, The Truth Behind Private Health Insurance, which will be released in March by New West Press and the Parkland Institute. She's the research director of the Parkland Institute, and she joins me by phone from Edmonton. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Karen.
How much is known about the Alberta government's planned healthcare reforms?
Well, they have got their agenda for the third way up on their website. And it's ironic that they're calling it the third way, because there is really no third way. They're trying really hard to keep people from thinking about the U.S. experience. They know that most people are very aware that private for-profit medical delivery and insurance in the States is a disaster. So they are trying really hard to frame this in a way that doesn't have people looking south of the border. So what they've got up on their website, and certainly there have been some other documents released that have given us an idea of where they're headed. There was a request for proposals that they issued in earlier, that it was how they hired a U.S. insurance company, a Canadian subsidiary called Aon Corporation, to develop three different models for expanding private insurance in the province. And so that request for proposals is public, and we have a good idea of what they've asked this American insurance company to cost out for the province. That gives us a good indication of the direction they're headed. And there's two other documents that were leaked in November to the opposition that also show that they plan to expand private insurance. One of them was a slideshow that was presented to members of the government within the Conservative Party that talks about private insurance specifically, eliminating the ban on private insurance for medically necessary services, and eliminating the ban on doctors billing in both private and public sector. So those would really open up the market for private insurance. And so those give us an indication of the direction they're headed. They do have a 9-point plan that's been approved by caucus already that they aren't releasing to the public, and we'll only find that out once the legislature starts sitting at the end of February and in early March as they unfold the new legislation.
Are there some parts of this plan, some of the things that we expect that may violate the Canada Health Act?
They may. Certainly in the documents that were leaked, they specifically said the ban on doctors, if they got rid of the ban on doctors billing in both sectors, that would violate federal legislation and could put us in the position of having monies withheld by the federal government. It's unclear because we don't know exactly how the plan's going to be unfolding and exactly what legislation they're going to change. As yet, we can't say specifically that they are or aren't, but they have said that they may violate the Canada Health Act and that wouldn't necessarily stop them from moving forward.
Klein has presented the reforms as ones that will eventually provide more choice and better access to health care for Albertans. How is this going over in the province?
Well, certainly there has been a real focus on wait lists over the past few years. As a matter of fact, after the government passed Bill 11 in early 2000 that created the possibility of private surgeries, there was a lot of opposition in the province to private for-profit surgeries. And the government's done a lot of polling and found that wait lists are the only way that people are willing to accept the expansion of private for-profit, both delivery and insurance. So they've been putting a lot of emphasis on the wait time side. However, that's ironic because Alberta's doing incredibly well nationally on waits, and there are some great initiatives that have been undertaken within the public system to reduce wait times. Certainly, they've had huge success on orthopedic surgeries with managing wait lists differently in terms of how they're allocated, having them centrally managed and booked. And so there are great solutions within the public system for improving waits and improving access. The government did cut a lot of acute care beds and hospitals and nursing staff in the province over the 90s. And so shortages of access to doctors, nurses, and acute care beds shouldn't surprise anybody. And that's not going to be solved by expanding private insurance. So there's only so many doctors. There's only so many hospital beds. We can either put those back in publicly or we can have them privately funded for profit. In terms of private insurance and choice and access, actually, private insurance would only increase choice or access for a few wealthy that would be able to pay for and access that insurance. But more to the point, it would only improve access and choice for the healthy because private insurance often denies coverage to people with a pre-existing condition that have had a medical history in the past. So the healthy and the wealthy might have access, and the bulk of the rest of the society would have reduced access because they'd lose doctors from the public system.
During the recent federal election campaign, there was a lot of rhetoric about protecting the public health care system. What should the federal government actually be doing to stop a province from privatizing parts of the healthcare system?
I think that the upholding of the Canada Health Act is probably not going to be enough. I don't think that that act is strong enough to prevent the Alberta government and other provincial governments from going down the path to a more U.S.-style system. We already have the expansion of for-profit surgeries and doctors that are practicing increasingly in the private sector. So I think that if we really care about universal access to health care and not having two-tier health care, that we need to look nationally at the system we want and ensuring that our legislation protects it. Certainly the new health minister at the federal level doesn't bode well for that. He actually has been known to have advocated that the Canada Health Act be changed to make it more possible to do private delivery, for-profit delivery, by adding innovation to the pillars of that act. So I'm not optimistic that he's going to be standing behind the act. And in terms of Stephen Harper, his emphasis has been on downloading responsibility to the provinces, which would allow Klein a lot more leeway on where he's going to go with private for-profit health care. So I think that those positions, both of Harper and of the new health minister, don't bode well, and we need to ensure nationally that we have a proper debate on what we want to see our healthcare system look like.
And that's Tony Clement, that's the new health minister, who was in the Mike Harris cabinet.
He was, and he had the nickname Two-Tier Tony. So
that doesn't sound good for us.
It doesn't sound good for healthcare, I don't think.
So do you think things have gotten potentially worse now that we have a Harper government?
Well, it depends. I mean, he did make strong commitments, and because he's in a minority position, he needs to make sure he backs those up or he will be at risk of not getting a majority in the next election. So I think certainly we're better off with a minority than a majority conservative government, but there are risks in terms of where Ralph Klein wants to go, and he's already made a clear challenge to Stephen Harper on his health care initiatives. Though the health minister in Alberta, Iris Evans, has made it clear that she wants to dialogue with the federal health minister on ways to work within the Canada Health Act, I'm not sure that would necessarily mean protecting the public system.
What will be the consequences, first of all, in Alberta, if Klein's government does succeed in its reforms of the public health care system?
Well, as I said, some of the reform package, there's some good things in their reform package that are making progress on wait lists. They do have a commitment to increasing coordination and retention of healthcare staff, posting wait times and setting goals, expanding primary healthcare networks, things like that. So they have some good objectives in their plan that would help to strengthen the public system. Unfortunately, those are overwhelmed by the privatization initiatives of expanding for-profit surgeries and expanding private insurance. And there's no doubt that we're headed to a U.S. system. We already have more private insurance in Canada than they do in almost any European country. We're actually tied for third in the OECD for private payments and private insurance. So the only real direction for us to go from third up to first is the U.S. system, which is first. And we're already heading that direction. And I think if we expand private for-profit surgeries and insurance, we're looking at heading towards further inequalities in the province and the nation, and we're heading towards a U.S. system, there's just no doubt.
Are other provinces also trying to reform their healthcare systems in the same way?
They are. Quebec is probably the one that's the most closest to Alberta, if not ahead of us. They've talked about allowing doctors to work in both sectors as well, private for profit and public. And they are looking at the introduction of private insurance. So it's not clear in Quebec either what direction they'll head, but they're having the same debates Alberta is. But the rest of the country, BC already has private for-profit clinics, as we know, and Ontario does as well. So they're already on the same path. And those clinics don't have enough financing without private for-profit insurance. They need access to additional patients to make it worthwhile. And it hasn't expanded as quickly as it could because we have limits on doctors working in both systems and because we have such a strong public system. So if the government's committed to expanding the private system, they're going to need to reduce some of the barriers for those private clinics to getting access to patients, and one of them is private insurance. And the Alberta government's made that clear in the leaked documents. They said getting rid of the ban on private insurance isn't enough. We need to ensure that there's a market, and they're talking about what steps they need to take to ensure that private insurance companies will be able to make a profit in the province.
And there's a new private delivery service in Alberta now, a new clinic in Calgary that opened up that provides what they call concierge health care, where you pay a fee and you get access to doctors. Do companies like this, are they also benefiting from private insurance?
They certainly would. As they expand things like that concierge healthcare, if you can get 24-hour access to a doctor and you pay a monthly fee, people are going to start wanting more private insurance coverage for those kinds of fees. So the expansion of the private for-profit delivery sector expands creates a need and a market for private insurance for people who would like to see those things available, but they're not covered publicly. And that would include already services you can get over and above healthcare, like if you buy a hip, you get a hip replacement, you can get the extra bonus plus hip. If you get cataracts or surgery, you can get different types of lenses on your eyes. If you get, if you're in hospital, you can buy the plus hospital room. And so there are already a lot of those things that have been put into the system that already create a little bit of a two-tier perspective, and that creates more and more demand for people to have private insurance to cover those supplementaries.
What sort of action would you like to see by the federal government once these reforms are made more public?
Well, unfortunately, the federal government isn't in a great position because the only thing they can do is withhold money. And as everybody knows, Alberta right now isn't in desperate need of federal funds. So, I mean, they don't have a lot of power in this. They certainly can put pressure on the Klein government not to proceed. I think that the most important thing is that the rest of the nation put pressure on Alberta to not proceed down this path because it would open the door to expanding those options elsewhere. And I do think that the federal government should withhold the funds that they would otherwise provide the province for health care. But that's unfortunately all they can do.
Well, thank you for speaking with me, Diana.
Thanks very much.
I've been speaking with Diana Gibson. Diana is the research director of the Parkland Institute. She is the co-author of The Bottom Line, The Truth Behind Private Health Insurance, which will be published by New West Press and the Parkland Institute this spring.